Welcome to LTM. Today we're starting a new weekly series called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Stacy Cagwin will be our host and teacher of this new series. Have you ever had a problem or a bad report that threw you into despair and you didn't know what to do? Maybe you're going through something right now and your mind needs clarification and you need help figuring out what to do. Where to go, or who to turn to. Maybe you lost your job, your home, or your kid, or your marriage is on the rock, and your spouse filed for a divorce. The doctor told you that you or one of your family is terminally ill. No matter what your situation is, I encourage you to meet Stacy here each week to learn biblical truths to help you find out what to do. Let's meet our host, Stacy Cagwin, to help us discover what to do when you don't know what to do.
Hello, and welcome everyone to the Living Truth Ministries podcast. I am excited to introduce a new podcast entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. On this episode, I will be introducing some practical biblical strategies for confronting crisis. My name is Stacy Cagwin, and I am glad you decided to join me as we explore this topic. I pray this content will bless you as you grow in your walk with the Lord. Have you ever had something happen in your life that left you wondering what to do? Have you ever asked yourself, or perhaps a close friend, what should I do now? In the following scenario, the author describes a very tough situation in which he doesn't know what to do. A hazy sun was obscured by the smoke of numerous fires, casting an eerie morning light over the streets of Nairobi, Kenya. The scene for my third-floor hotel room was one of complete devastation. Car windows were smashed, buildings were riddled with bullets, stores were ransacked, and dead bodies lay in the streets. After 19 years of peace, the city of Nairobi was caught in a crossfire of a bloody coup between rival military powers attempting to overthrow the government. That very day, we were scheduled to start a training institute for American Christian leaders from all over the continent. The administrator of the facility we were renting for the institute was frightened by the coup and did not want us to open the sessions. Due to anti-American sentiment, the Kenyan government was advising Americans to flee the country if they could find a way out. A Swiss airline crew staying in the hotel where I was residing offered me a ride to another city from where I could catch a flight to America. And I was seriously considering it. Our national coordinator for the African delegates, however, wanted to open the training institute as scheduled. The final decision was mine, but what should I do? To be honest, I gave a serious consideration to hopping a plane back to the safe haven of my California home. But would this be wisdom or a cowardly retreat? Should I remain in Nairobi and open the institute as scheduled despite the danger? And if I did, it could cost someone's life, including mine. While every dilemma we face in life is not quite as dramatic as the scenario I just presented, the complex circumstances frequently result in the same question. What should I do? We are usually taught that to find God's will that we should pray, study the scriptures, listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and seek Christian counsel, and even analyze the circumstances that we are in. But what happens when there is no angelic visitation, no audible voice from God, no supernatural manifestation, and no time to seek counsel, and need an immediate answer? In 2 Chronicles 20, the Bible records a story of a man who faced such a dilemma. A formidable enemy was rapidly advancing to invade King Jehoshaphat's nation. As the massive army marched toward him, Jehoshaphat fearfully acknowledged that he had no strategy to face the crisis. He didn't have time to search the scriptures, make an appointment with a Christian counselor, if you could even find one in those times, or wait for circumstances to work out. Jehoshaphat's story begins with confusion, but ends in conquest, because he learned what to do when he didn't know what to do, and so can you. Once you master the strategies Jehoshaphat used, you can apply them to every crisis that you may encounter. A bad report. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the seas, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar." 2 Chronicles 20:1-2. The following verse I just read describes some of the trouble Jehoshaphat endured, prompting him to seek God's direction. And like Jehoshaphat and many others in the Bible, we all face troubles, even in today's time, especially now. Now, there are always some with a bad report. The biblical record is filled with their gloomy proclamations. And just as it is today, in our daily struggles and problems, the people in the days of the Bible had their fair share of trouble too. Now imagine that you are Moses and you are leading the Exodus out of Egypt, and you come to the Red Sea, and you can't find a way across that sea, but you have an army advancing quickly behind you. You may or may not know what to do in that situation, but I'll tell you what Moses did. He sought God's direction, and if Moses had not set his heart to depend on God's direction, he and the people with him would have had a much different outcome. But because Moses listened to God, a miracle in the form of the Red Sea parting ensured a safe passage for Moses and the people with him. And when the messengers came to Nehemiah describing Jerusalem in ruins, with its fortified walls collapsed in devastation, Nehemiah too had to make a decision. But he could not make a decision without consulting the Lord first. Also, there was Naomi, a woman whose story is recorded in the book of Ruth. She received a series of bad reports. Among those reports was that her husband and both of her sons were dead. As King David looked out over the plains and saw a messenger running with news from the battlefield, it was a devastating report that his son Absalom was dead. And then there was Job, who seemed to have a propensity for bad news. He received word that his children were killed and his servants and herds captured by the enemy. He also had a wife who seemed to delight in emphasizing these negative reports, as if Job needed someone to tell him how bad things were. Her advice to Job was to curse God and die. And finally, there was Jairus. As he hurried towards home, bringing Jesus to his ailing daughter's side, his servant met him with the tragic news the child was already dead. There are always some with a bad report. In fact, there are usually more than some, because we live in a negatively oriented world. If you don't believe me, observe what happens when you share an innovative idea. The common response for others to immediately point out why your plan won't work. The negative mindset is tremendously evident on the evening news and across social media, where practically every report concerns crime, political wrangling, or societal crisis. Even the weather reports are negative. Why not say 80% chance of sunshine instead of 20% chance of rain? Have you ever received a bad report? Have you ever received bad news of any kind that left you wondering what to do? Did the doctor say your disease is terminal? Are you being sued for divorce or battling custody for your children? Maybe you're facing a financial ruin. Did the pediatrician tell you that your precious little baby may never be normal? Or perhaps you grew up in a negative environment where you constantly heard bad reports from parents who declare things such as, "I'm sorry you were ever born," or "you're so stupid you will never amount to anything." Your bad report may be a written document similar to the threatening letter received by King Hezekiah in Old Testament times. Perhaps your evil report is in human form, in the form of someone who is constantly pursuing you as Queen Jezebel pursued the prophet Elijah. Whatever the form of your bad report, and whoever the source, and regardless of its message, the content in this podcast may be your answer. You will learn what to do when you don't know what to do. Using biblical guidelines drawn from the story of King Jehoshaphat's battle with enemy forces recorded in 2 Chronicles 20. I hope this new series will enlighten you and that you will tune in next week to continue this podcast about a king who walked God's way. I will be teaching more about Jehoshaphat, the son of King Asa, and how he learned to seek God during a crisis. Please, if you have time this week, read 2 Chronicles 20, as it will tie into next week's lesson. I pray this content has blessed you, and may God bless you, and may he make his face to shine upon you, and may he keep you in all your ways. Thank you for listening, and may you have a great rest of your day.
Join Stacy next week as she continues the series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We are on Facebook, PodPoint, LTM Radio, LTBC, and LTM website. Harvest Time International Institute and Living Truth Bible College furnish all material. You can find helpful material like this and more by going to www.myltbc.org. Again, that's myltbc.org. If you enjoy Stacy's teachings, let her know. Or if you have questions concerning today's lesson, then send her an email. Her email address is stacy@ltm4christ.com. Again, that's stacy@ltm4christ.com. This broadcast is brought to you by Living Truth Ministries.